Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Touches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Ennett, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa, is Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by former Northwestern quarterback, Dan Persa. The Wildcats had their four-game winning streak snapped two Saturdays ago in Lincoln, Nebraska, by a heartbreaking loss to the Cornhuskers, 28-21, but it's not much rest. They did get a bye week, but now they go on the road to take on the USC Trojans Friday night in Los Angeles, and a place they haven't played in many a year, and the first time they have faced USC since the Trojans came into the Big Ten. In fact, first time they faced them since they played them in the Rose Bowl on January 1st of 1996. Dan, that Nebraska game, tough one because they came back. They were down 21-6, came back, tied it up, had a great opportunity to take the lead, couldn't do it. Mack Uihlein with another interception, his fourth of the season, on the first play of a Nebraska series, setting the Cats up, great position to go ahead in the game, and then the drive fizzled out, or a holding call first, and then an interception thrown by Preston Stone, and Nebraska was able to get things together and go on a drive to pull out the victory. That's a tough one.
Yeah, certainly a gut-wrenching loss, given their ability to come back and seemingly have all the momentum after that interception, and that holding call, you know, really turned out to be the turning point in the game. And I'm not sure if Preston just lost that linebacker behind the ref there, but that's unfortunately a throw you can't make, you know, at that point in the game. You still want the defense to step up and win, but, you know, credit to Northwestern for, you know, clawing and fighting back and getting the game to where it was. You really thought the way this season was going and the way they've been battling that they were going to pull that one out. So unfortunately they didn't. But you know, as we'll talk to Griffin Wilde soon, you know, they had a, you know, a productive bye week and now head out west to, you know, kind of another tough opponent, right? You know, they just came off a win versus Nebraska and playing them at home at night, on a Friday is certainly a challenge, but I think this team, this Northwestern team, is very gritty. They're talented. And I think they're ready for the challenge.
Yeah. You know, the game that Nebraska and USC played was somewhat similar to the game the Wildcats played there the week before in Lincoln. You know, the thing that really hurt the Cats in the fourth quarter of that drive by Nebraska, there were four third down conversions, successful conversions by the Cornhuskers, all of them on passes thrown by the quarterback, Dylan Raiola. And those are situations where the Cats have been really good defensively all year, and the defense just couldn't get off the field.
Yeah, and credit to Nebraska and Raiola for making those big plays. But to your point, you know, Northwestern's been so solid in third and medium and third and long, and they converted a bunch of huge third downs. So, you know, that's what it takes at the end of the game. As you know, Dave, you know, the guys have to step up and make plays. And unfortunately for them, Nebraska just made more plays when it mattered on that last drive. And then when Northwestern got the ball back, you know, that last call was a little bit questionable, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, the refs are going to swallow their whistles and lose their handkerchiefs in those tight moments. And unless it's absolutely blatant, which some Wildcat fans will, you know, say that it was, they're not going to make those calls that change the game. So, you know, unfortunate stop to the drive there, but you know, they got to bounce back. I think, again, this is a pretty mentally tough team. They're certainly disappointed that they had that loss, but I think they'll be ready to go for USC.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you look at this is a matchup of really one of the best offenses in the Big Ten, USC, against one of the better defenses in the conference, look at the Cats giving up 16.8 points a game. That's fifth in the league, 13th in the nation. In fact, they're top 20 in the nation in scoring defense, total defense, passing yards allowed. Their run defense, I think, has been a little underrated. I mean, they had, again, they've kept their opponents pretty well in check throughout the course of the season. And, you know, now you look at this USC offense, which is scoring about 40 points a game, 505 yards of offense a game, which leads the Big Ten. It's second nationally. So, you know, in a way, this is one of those things. You've said it before, Dan. You go on the road, but you take a defense with you, and that can go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, you know, overly concerned with how they match up on defense. I think, you know, as they've proven with a bunch of good offenses in the Big Ten, and even the Oregon game, as we talked about in the past, you know, while they scored a bunch of points, it really wasn't indicative to, you know, how the game was played. So I think that should give them a lot of confidence, the way they played against Oregon going into the USC game. So I think, you know, the Cats will hold them, you know, in the kind of the 20s. It's really a question of, can the offense consistently score, and can they score touchdowns in the red zone and tight zone, which has been a little bit of an issue for them this season. So, you know, hopefully, you know, Preston and the team can make some big plays, but specifically punch those touchdowns in once they get in the red and tight areas.
Yeah, they've been much better in the red zone this year percentage-wise, 89%, 24 of 27. Nothing wrong with that. But if you look at a little deeper, only half of those 24 scores have been touchdowns. They have 12 touchdowns, 12 field goals, and this is the second-best red zone defense in the Big Ten and third in the nation that they're facing in USC, just 64% of and teams haven't even made that many trips into the red zone, although that's an area in which the Cats have been very good, because they haven't allowed a lot of teams to get inside their 20-yard line this year. So a positive there. The other thing I think that we ought to mention has been the play of this offensive line, which is keeping Preston Stone upright and also opening huge holes for the running backs, Caleb Komalafe and Joseph Hyman. And Komalafe, I mean, you can see the results and what he's done. Another career high last week, or last game, against Nebraska, had that big touchdown run that just was a real eye-opener, a 56-yard run that enabled the Cats to tie the game in the fourth quarter. And those are all big positives for this team.
Yeah, and as we talked about before, though, that's another thing that gets on the plane, right? The offensive line and the running game will travel for short and long trips. But going back to your original point around the TD percentage in the red zone, tight zone, that's especially important for Northwestern, given the identity shift that they've had since the beginning of the season, right? You know, the season got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but now that they've settled in, they've really, you know, decided to control the ball, run the ball, you know, limit possessions, keep the other team's offense, you know, on the sideline. And when you do that, you just limit the total possessions that you're going to have at the end of the game, right? So when you do get into the red zone and tight zone, field goals just aren't going to cut it, because you're not going to be able to score. You're not going to have 10 opportunities. You're going to have, you know, 3 to 4, right? So that makes it more especially important to get those in the end zone, because you're just not going to have a ton of opportunities given the way they're playing.
And very pleased to welcome the wide receiver for the Wildcats, their leading receiver on the season, from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, number 17, Griffin Wilde, 39 catches, 570 yards on the season, 4 touchdowns, which came in 4 consecutive games, averaging 71 yards receiving a game. He ranks in the top 11 in the Big Ten in both receptions and receiving yards per game. He's had a big impact, and it's great to have him with us here on Collegiately Speaking. Dave Ennett, Dan Percy here. Griffin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. How would you sum up your first year in Evanston so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so far it's going well. The team's been playing really well, and we're looking to close out the season strong with hopefully 4 straight here.
Yeah, what was the kind of the mindset, or the, I guess, the vibe after losing such a tough game in Nebraska as you did 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, obviously a tough loss. I mean, we're in it the whole game. We're making plays, and then just overall just couldn't close out the game. So that kind of lingers with the team. And then the bye week, honestly, couldn't have been placed any better. You come off a loss, and you're hungry, and you're working towards the common goal of just winning every game. So having that bye week and just regrouping, making sure everyone's still on the same page, making sure like the boats aren't burning. Everything's good, and then just getting on the same page and going back to work to hopefully go to USC and take home a win.
I have to ask you about the last play of the game, because if I don't, anybody listening to this is going to be saying, well, what happened on that last play? Because it's looked for all the world like you were held, and were you expecting to see a flag?
To be honest, I wasn't really expecting to see a flag. Kind of told don't leave it in the ref's hands. So that's kind of what ended up happening. It would have been very nice to get a flag for sure. First down, Wildcats in the red zone, opportunity to go score, but them not throwing a flag, controversial call. Nebraska fans are going to say it wasn't a hold. Wildcat fans might say it's a hold. So 50-50, just didn't end up going our way on that one.
That is the best analysis of a non-call from a player involved in the play that I've ever heard. I just want to tell you that. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very modest, Griffin. Dan Percy here. Thanks again for joining us. Obviously, you were very successful at the FCS level and now translating that to the FBS level. What do you think that the biggest differences have been for you making that transition that you've made look pretty easy so far?
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple things that jump right to my mind. I'd say the first one is the physicality of the game. Everybody, as advertised, is bigger, stronger, faster. The second thing I would say is the speed of the game. That comes along with, like, everything's bigger, stronger, faster, just knowing what to do just half a second sooner and reacting. And then I'd say the last thing more specific to my position would be the catch point. So going up for jump balls, plucking and snatching the ball away from defenders, I've found. And to be quite honest, there's a lot of plays that haven't gone my way that I still need to work on. It's the pluck and snatches. The DBs are much better playing through the ball and playing through your hands and breaking passes up. So that's been a point of emphasis of just making those contested catches.
Yeah, to your credit, you've made a lot of them, so I wouldn't sell yourself too short there. Maybe talk a little bit about your evolving chemistry with Preston Stone and how that's been going. It seems like you guys are, you know, absolutely on the same page and have made, you know, huge third down and touchdown grabs over the last couple of games. You know, what's been the key to that relationship for you guys both being new to Evanston?
Yeah, I mean, to start from the very beginning, it all kind of starts with the person that Preston Stone is. He's a great leader. He's called to be a leader at the quarterback position, and he's taken that so well. I remember the first week I was in Evanston, he got all the new transfers, all the new guys, even some of the young guys, just go get food, just hang out, talk, build a relationship. And then more football related, it's been after practice, we're throwing extra routes, we're just hanging out, we're just talking. And then through the season, that just kind of builds a relationship and a trust within not only myself and him, but the receivers and him, and just having that trust is leading to a lot of success on the field.
You're one of the veteran guys in this receiving core, certainly the more experienced of the wide receivers. How do you see the rest of these guys developing? Hayden Elligan and Drew Wagner, Ricky Amorazzi, and the other guys.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those guys. They kind of got thrown into the fire a little bit this year, and they've taken it on really, really well. Hayden Elligan was out the first game and then came back kind of working off injuries, and he's been a stud. He's making contested catches. He's a big frame guy that if the ball's thrown his way, you know he's going to come down with it. You saw it in Nebraska. I think he made three contested catches, almost what felt like back-to-back-to-back. So for him, just building his confidence so that he knows, like, Hayden's a player that I think could be playing on Sundays. He's a great player, and he just needs to continue to build his confidence, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's translated really well. And then Drew Wagner, his story is what college football is all about, to be honest. He comes in as a walk-on, a kid that was given nothing, took every opportunity that was right in front of him, took advantage of it, and now carved himself into a starting role. And as it hasn't looked back, to be honest, he's back there catching punts for us, which high pressure. I mean, you see that ball hanging up there forever. I mean, you start to get a little nervous, but he's got nerves of steel. And the same thing with Hayden. If the ball's thrown his way, he's coming down with it. He's a scrappy guy that just honestly does everything right. So to see Drew and Hayden continue to go upwards is really exciting for the Wildcats. And then obviously Ricky Amorazzi, Frank Covey, Chase Farrell, all these guys coming in, getting their snaps and doing the best of their ability and helping the team success. I mean, you see Frank Covey coming in and constantly putting guys on their backs. He's a physical point of attack blocker, and he's doing whatever he can to help the Cats. And that's really cool to see as an older guy in the room, is seeing these guys get their opportunities and doing what we've seen in practice every day. So it's kind of just practice translating to the game, and that's really exciting to see.
Visiting with Griffin Wilde of the Wildcats, your story too, Griffin, is what college football's all about. And I do want to ask you this before we let you go. And playing at San Diego State, I know you guys played a pretty ambitious schedule at times against FBS teams. I went over your schedule. I think you had a game in Stillwater against Oklahoma State, maybe your first or second year playing for the Jackrabbits. And I think they also had a game at Iowa, I think maybe before you were playing. But Now you've played at Penn State, you've played at Nebraska, you're going to the Memorial Coliseum in L.A. to play USC before coming back home to play a couple of games at Wrigley Field. I mean, for a guy who comes from the FCS level to FBS and you're playing these teams in these venues every week, how much of that was an attraction to you to make this move, and what's that experience been like walking into these cathedrals of college football?
Yeah, I'd say yeah, for sure. I mean, it's an attraction. You look at the schedule and you see Penn State, you see a stadium that holds 106,000 people that are going to watch you play football, and that's really exciting. So obviously it's really cool. The Big Ten, all the teams, it's going to be a bloodbath, so that was definitely an attraction. And then the experience as a whole, I remember walking out to the Penn State stadium, or like driving by it at first. We'll start there. So driving by it at first, I see the giant Nittany Lion logo that's hanging on their stadium. And I was like, holy cow, this place is ginormous. This is crazy. And then pregame warmups, I'm going out there and I just remember like taking a moment, pulling my phone out, recording it, like seeing every seat, how big this place is. It is something that's really, really cool. And then obviously at Nebraska, the same thing, to see a student section that's full almost 2 hours before the game, that's chirping at you as you're running out. Like that's college football. That's the atmosphere that's fun to play in. And but to see that stuff and to be able to be on the field and play in front of that many people, and go into those environments with the guys that you work so hard with, it's something that's really cool for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And I know, and Dan knows this from his days. I'm sure when you noticed how quiet the Beaver Stadium got when you guys took the lead in the fourth quarter, and you noticed how quiet that Nebraska got when the game was tied there in the fourth. And I'm sure there's no better feeling than that. And now you go into another one this week against USC. We'll let you go. We appreciate your time as always, and have a great game Friday night out in LA.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks, Griffin.
Thanks, Griffin.
Griffin Wilde of the Wildcats. Hey, Dan, I like the analysis there from Griffin. I think hopefully he's got a lot of football still to be played, but I think he could potentially be a guy we'd hear behind the microphone someday. He knows the game, and he's pretty good at breaking it down.
Yeah, he was pretty cool, calm, and collective, and very insightful, so appreciate him joining us.
Well, he certainly had a terrific year so far, and nice to see the way, as he said, guys like Hayden Ellegon have come on. He made some big catches in the game against Nebraska. They're going to need him and those other guys against these Trojans on Friday night. And again, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff Chicago time on Friday. You'll be able to hear the game on ESPN 1000. We'll have the pregame from Los Angeles beginning at 7:30 Central Time on Friday night. And then the Cats will come back, play Michigan and Minnesota back-to-back at Wrigley Field the next two Saturdays. We'll talk about more about Michigan and a wrap-up on the USC game next week. Dan, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Safe travels out west.
All right. Thank you. That will do it for this week's edition of Collegiately Speaking. Thanks to Griffin Wilde for joining us. Also, thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett, and we'll talk to you again next week.